This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, guys. So before we start the podcast this week, we are going to tell you about something that me and Pat truly love.
Yeah, we here at the Big Red Copcast love MyBookie.com. That is honest to God the truth, because here's another truth. We read an advertisement.
Oh.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Tweety did. I heard the advertisement.
Oh, this is true. I thought you were going to do a bit. This is true.
No, yeah. This is true.
Yeah, this is true.
I heard the advertisement.
I'm very convincing.
Decided that I should try this out. So I did. I took the amount of money that I used on fantasy football leagues this year, $40, not a crazy amount.
All right.
Put it into mybookie.com with the promo code 2433, because then mybookie.com matched it. And I bet against all my... My fantasy players, because you said on the ad that we could do that. So I cut my losses. I made back the money that I'm inevitably going to lose on my fantasy leagues, because I haven't won a game in my fantasy leagues yet this year.
Oh, wow.
I'm bad at fantasy football.
So how much are you up on my bookie?
I think I'm up about 25.
Oh, but that's good.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm reading. It looks like you just lost.
Oh.
So how's that for advertisement?
Man, if you had put that into mybookie.com,
you would have made so much money.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can lay down some cash and win big today. Because, you know, I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, or in this case, Pat.
Yeah, I've used it and I like it.
Yeah.
Because I like cutting my losses.
So we're urging you to make your way to mybookie.com. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So join now. MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar using promo code
2433.
That's 2433.
That's what?
2433.
2433.
2433.
At MyBookie.com.
So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code
2433
when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Great.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red.
Sucker.
Big Red.
Sucker.
He's Pat.
You're
and I'm Joe.
Joe.
Yeah. Wow.
You
we
can't,
got it.
You can't make it through the intro, Joe.
Oh, Pat, you could have said that to Pat as well.
Yeah, it's true. I think a lot of times let Joe go first. I don't know why I jumped in ahead of him this
Although
time.
Although often
I'll,
I let
I'll
Pat
jump
go first.
On the sword.
Yeah. This is a big mistake.
I don't care what happens as long as I go first.
Yeah, well, you're the one who starts the podcast, so That's, yeah. That's kind of your prerogative.
Although I can hear
I was about to
the
say,
intro song.
Yeah,
you
must be deaf.
It's, yeah.
Because those are very good headphones, but.
No, they're very bad headphones. Oh. Is the problem.
Is that why we can hear it better outside than you can hear it in there?
Yeah.
Hey, guys. We've matched our win total from last year.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
With a harder schedule and a game to go.
And we won a defensive battle, which it's been a while, I think, since we've won a defensive battle.
I can't.
Like, it had to be the Pelini years. Early on.
The last.
What, you mean that Fat Sajak wasn't a defensive guru that could win as a defensive
game?
I'm
just saying we haven't won a game with no touchdowns, first of all, in 80 years. But, I mean, even just a tight, low-scoring, under-the-20s game.
The last, and this wasn't even happening late in the Pelini years either.
No.
The last real defensive struggle I can think of, and we didn't win it, was the Big 12 championship game against Texas.
Yeah.
That was
like a 17-14 or something.
But that might have even been lower scoring than that.
Oh, like a 13-9?
It was a weird score.
Okay.
But
yeah, that's 15 years ago, not quite, but maybe like 12 years ago.
Yeah, because that's the last one I can recall in my head. And maybe I'm missing one at some point. Well, when we played at Iowa State the next year, that one was low scoring. But that
either
was just
way,
sloppy.
And either way, we're struggling even to think of these. Now, I thought yesterday exemplified why the black shirts need to be a big part of this. A day like yesterday is going to come up. You're going to have
two of those games minimum every year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be November games.
And that's where your defense is going to win those games for you. So, and those are the games that the black shirts won traditionally over years.
This is something that frustrated me yesterday when I thought of it. We're always going to have that game against Iowa as long as Iowa is the last game of the season, because it's always going to be cold and in the snow.
Yeah.
We're never going to get to just
shoot
light
it out
them
with
up.
Them. Well, they'll be, you know.
There's the occasional okay weather in Nebraska.
Yeah. And I guess that if Divina Zigbo could.
Yeah. And also, I think the years, we'll see. Because Osborne adjusted his offense throughout the years, based on,
you're going to see us turn into a much more running based team.
I think there will be some evolution. I think Frost has this offense humming the way he wants it, and it will be even more so when he gets the right athletes to fit everything in there. But I think there will also be some evolution over the years.
People
maybe
are
not right
adjust.
Away.
People are going to adjust to it. Too.
Yes,
right. I mean, his offense is already different than what Chip Kelly does.
Yes. Dude, he has the 13th best offense in the country. In a 5-7 season
with personnel that largely wasn't recruited here for that,
starting two games with a walk-on quarterback,
one game.
One start and one finish,
and a couple games with that true freshman quarterback not at full health either,
and every other game with a true freshman quarterback. This is the worst Adrian Martinez is going to play. He's only going to get light years better.
That's the hope. There are definitely, and we're seeing, that's the nice thing is that the first half of the season, we were looking for signs of progress and you could point something out here or there. But obviously with the victories, that's a tangible result. And then the things that we're seeing that are getting those victories are becoming more and more apparent. You know, the smoothness of the offense, some of the pressure they're putting and getting turnovers on defense, those things are happening more and more. This team is so clearly improving and rising throughout this season.
This is the perfect trajectory
to go into next year.
To build for the future, because I mean, what?
We just got a text or we just got a tweet. It literally just came in 10 seconds ago.
Okay.
Hashtag kick Joe. Oh,
is that all it says?
Yeah.
Is it from Ryan Palou?
Yep.
I should have figured.
Does he know when we're recording?
He must have. I think Pat told him yesterday.
Well,
he told somebody yesterday.
I put up my chicken
tweet. Well,
when
we were doing our Facebook Live, but it wasn't him.
Oh, okay.
I put up my chicken tweet on our page, so maybe he responded to that.
Oh, that's probably what it is.
Yep. But anyway, you really want to talk about those chickens you saw in Southern California.
Yeah, it's actually a reply to the video.
I mean, we're in the city of Los Angeles. When you just drive up on a couple chickens on the corner, that's not usual.
Tweety, you were trying to plan for this podcast so we didn't go off on a tangent.
I did. And I'm going to take you off every time I get a chance.
I just want to finish my point here that if we – there's obviously – nobody's winning a national championship as a first-year coach with personnel not designed to fit their scheme. But I think in the scheme of things, starting out 0-6 and potentially winning 5 out of your last 6 – has way more value than an up and down 8-4 season.
Yeah.
Because,
well, look at Riley's second year versus his first year. The first year we left the season full of, I think we talked about this last week, full of hope, even though we were 5-7. Second season we were 9-4 and we had no hope going into the offseason because we got crushed in a bowl
game. At the end,
yeah. But, well, that's bad. Because that was complete opposite momentum. But I'm saying just if it were a sporadic, win a couple here, lose one here, win a couple.
Get the bowl game. Because that's the one thing I would say.
You mean the one where you barely beat Wisconsin in Nebraska by 3 points, but then and then you look all right and you stumble through a couple more games and then you get housed by Iowa, you get housed by Ohio State.
Yeah, we've had a couple of seasons that ended
Illinois
that way.
By 45. It's like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But because so take Josh Heupel at UCF, because right now the narrative could still be Scott Frost built that. Mm-hmm. And then here, Scott Frost comes in, and this is still a Riley team. He's losing with them, and then flips a switch, and suddenly we win 5 out of 6 against arguably the tougher half of the schedule as well.
Definitely the tougher
except
half.
Except for Colorado.
Well, Colorado was not
and look at Colorado
the tougher
now.
Part of the schedule.
I think it was
at the time
when they play us.
Well, Colorado
I think
was
Colorado
better than
plays us is different than
but,
Colorado
but
plays
overall,
else.
What I'm saying overall is the back half of the schedule was harder than the front half.
Right.
And we've done better on that. So what you can say is Scott Frost has improved this team, has flipped them dramatically. If you're a recruit, you want to be a part of a coaching staff that's going to improve you like
and
that.
It's not
that
a,
you might not be able to get recruited to or transfer to in 2 years when they've got all their jimmies
right,
and
get
Joes.
In now while
you want
you
to
get
in now if you're a 4-star because you might not get in
well,
2 years.
If you're a 4-star, you'll be able to get in.
But, we'll but see. Even, Bo Pelini got plenty of 4-stars that I don't think Scott Frost has taken.
But even then, like no matter what the situation is in 2 years, you can right now point to a level of improvement that happens and a building of a program. Sure, it'd be great to start out a year 11-0 like Josh Heupel did, but also, again, he doesn't get to claim all of that narrative. Scott Frost gets to claim both of those
well,
to
here's
a certain
what, here's
extent
where,
right yeah. now.
Here's where you really get to see the effect Scott Frost had on UCF, and that's next year, the year after that. Can Heupel keep up the hype?
Yeah, Heupel's going to have Frost quarterback for the next 2 years,
and they're similar enough offenses too that he'll be fine. I think even next year,
right?
They've built a little bit of momentum as a program. I think what Frost did is he set them up for long term success. I think that's where the value of Scott Frost lies.
I don't know if I agree, and here's why because what Scott Frost does here's how you set up a program for years of success. You do what Saban does, which is you set up a system of bagmen that you've put in play. I'm not joking. This isn't a bit. And then no matter who the coach is, the bagmen are still there because the bagmen operate separate from the university. If you set up that system and you have recruits just coming in, no matter how good or bad you are, just paying for them, that's how you set a team up for future success. If you want to set up a team up, what Scott Frost has done is he's gone in, change the culture. That culture only lasts as long as the guy that can keep the culture in the same place. If you don't know how to do that, Scott Frost is likable. Scott Frost cried when his players left the field yesterday. Scott Frost, you can see.
Are you saying that when Saban leaves Alabama, they're going to be just as successful because of the bagmen in place?
Yeah, it might take a year or two.
Well,
but yes.
Dabo Swinney will be the next Alabama coach. That's for sure. He went to Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Well, here's
he'd be a real piece of shit.
Yep. He sure would.
But I think you can, removing the Bagman argument for a minute, I think you can
remove the Bagman argument.
You can set a culture, and then it's up to the athletic director to find someone who mimics that culture at least somewhat closely.
But that requires, that's my point. Well, that requires another step.
But right.
Scott Frost, you can't have
success across multiple coaches without a good athletic director. And
Would you feel comfortable bringing in Les Miles next year to take over for Scott Frost?
No.
But he's a proven head coach. He's won national championships.
But I don't think it's the exact same thing. But I don't think his culture and scheme are that close to Scott Frost
either. That's the thing. The scheme doesn't stay the same. I think that Scott Frost's scheme will stand the test of time because he's doing things that are similar, though.
Heupel has a lot of the same stuff, and that was, I think, to your point, smart of Danny White to bring him in, so it's not as big a transition as a Les Miles would be. That's a sweeping change.
And I don't think his cult of personality is nearly the same as Scott Frost. Scott Frost can do it from scratch because Scott Frost has that it factor. But what he also has the ability to do is lay that foundation with the players and build that culture. And as long as someone toxic doesn't come in, those players are there. They pass it around to the next batch of players. There's a culture of accountability. Could that still come apart at some point? Sure.
Look how long it took Solich to ruin the locker room.
How long did it take?
2 years? 3 years?
I don't know what was happening then in the ruination of the locker room. That's a guy that came off of Osborne's staff. It was his fourth, basically
pulled him out of his pocket.
It was his fourth year when they made a national championship game.
So fifth, sixth year, I mean, how long was he there? 7 years? It didn't take long. It fell apart. He proved that he couldn't.
I don't know.
He proved they didn't have the charisma. He proved that he didn't have the recruiting prowess.
He was there 6 years.
So it took 5 years. And honestly, his first year was like a huge shock to the system.
Four losses, it was not something that happened very often at that point. Right. But also, to be fair, he was taken over with a redshirt freshman quarterback.
Sure.
Or actually a sophomore quarterback because Bobby Newcomb played wide receiver
Scott Frost is playing with a freshman quarterback.
No, I get that. But it's entirely different situations.
I don't agree at all. It's not entirely different equations. My point is...
I mean, following a 4-8 record versus following an actual championship.
The argument I'm making is that Scott Frost in and of himself is special.
Sure.
You can't put Scott Frost somewhere for 2 years and have him change a culture and then think it's going to withstand forever.
No, he's not setting
up a program for the future if he leaves. He's setting a program up for the future if he stays or if maybe Ryan Held takes over. But even then, you're looking
But Frost is treating any program like it's going to be good for 10 years.
Frost is feeding any program the way Scott Frost treats programs, which works
right
while he's there.
When Scott Frost is there, though, he treats them like he's going to be there forever.
Exactly.
You cannot treat it like it's a temporary fix. I agree with that
100%.
You treat it like because you have to permanently resolve a lot of issues. And if you do that well enough, that's not saying that Central Florida is going to be this perfect culture forever.
Central Florida was having winless seasons. I mean, lossless seasons for years.
Not recently either. They had some good seasons.
Didn't they go undefeated within the last 10 years a couple times?
No, not a couple times. I think they had Culpepper, and that was the start of when they started to become a
pretty solid program. And then they were pretty solid with Bortles. They were a solid mid-major team.
Yes.
Yes.
And then they were awful.
For 1 year.
And then Frost came in.
Right. And so you're actually almost making my argument for me a little bit, Tweety.
No, I'm not.
Because there's a little bit of culture built into there. And then you bring in a guy like Frost who wants to really build it. And And if it's going to be a truly good culture, it's something that will carry on a little bit past
and
him.
Frost.
That's a legacy. If it crumbles within 2 years, that's almost kind of a knock on Frost, I think, the way he tries to build them.
It's a knock on it's not.
I think that's a knock on Heupel.
He develops proof the importance of Frost.
There's the importance of him, yes.
That's what it proves.
But he develops a culture of accountability so much that those senior players pass it down to the juniors and down
that's
and below.
That's not what happens, though. That's not how it happens.
Well, you guys are ignoring...
That's how it happens if the coach is there.
But
like, they're sticking around this year. They all believe it's because he coached them up to make them great. He coached them up to make them great.
But if they need him there, then that's not accountability anymore. That's reliability. They have to rely on him.
Then they must rely on him because
that's not what he wants.
He wants guys
who are going to take the young guys back.
Shaquem Griffin is going to the NFL. He would have never been there without Frost. Frost made him.
Right, but he can't manage all 160 players. He needs guys who
Griffin made himself great by buying in. Frost helped him.
Right, and he got other people to help others buy in. Scott Frost is amazing. Saying he's getting other people to carry on the culture of accountability is a credit to him, not a discredit.
But that's not what we're arguing. I'm not saying that won't happen. I'm saying that these players will be fine. The ones that had Scott Frost.
They'll get weaker as they go on.
The freshmen that played this year that never had Frost, that are only hearing stories of Scott Frost, are probably like, I don't give a shit about Scott Frost. And they're not going to give a shit.
But they don't.
That's not what he did.
If they want it passed down to the older guys.
The older guys aren't going to be able to pass it down that well.
Yeah, I you're also ignoring the AD. Like Moose has as much to do with Nebraska's whole overall thing because he controls more of the money and makes those a bad AD who's not aligned with the coach.
A good AD shuts the hell up and lets Scott Frost do whatever he wants,
which is what Moose
is doing.
Well, in this instance, you might let Frost do whatever you want, but if you have a different coach, let's say Heupel comes in and you're the AD who remembered what Frost did, you're going to want to, A, mimic somebody as much as you possibly can, and B, remind that new coach of what made you successful with the ex-coach. I mean, it's not a surprise that I agree with Pat on really any argument, but I think a point that's missing is the fact
it's
that...
It's not that you agree with Pat.
I disagree with you. Yes, it's easier to do that.
It's wrong oftentimes.
But I think we're both arguing the value of Scott Frost.
Yes, that's true.
My point is the overall end game is different.
In 2 years, we're going to know at Central
Florida. We'll know exactly what's going to happen. But when Adrian Martinez is a senior, let's check in and see how Josh Heupel's doing. And that'll tell you.
Nebraska will be better than I'm
that's
saying.
That's not the question. The question is whether or not Scott Frost left a long-term cultural change there.
I'm not saying
culture
it's going to stay.
Doesn't work like that.
I'm not saying it's going to stay forever at this level, but I'm saying it will stay longer because of the value of Scott Frost.
Well, because things fade. I don't think it's just going to all of a sudden tomorrow not
work. Then you're agreeing with him. You're saying the same thing.
Scott, he's changing he's moving the goalpost.
No, he's not.
He said that Scott Frost will change it for the trajectory of 10 years.
I did not say that.
Let's go back and listen.
Well, I don't want to waste time on that.
I said nothing about 10 years.
He didn't say that.
You said the future will change because Scott Frost was there.
You're going to turn this into him saying that Scott Frost invented a time machine.
It's a slower...
The future will change.
It will devolve...
We all know. We all heard you.
It will devolve
the listeners
much,
will t-
much more slowly because of the long-term seeds that he's planted.
Right. If you get a guy like Bobby Petrino, and this is just a random example, but let's say Petrino comes in, he's got his bagman attached. He brings in a Cam Newton-type recruit. He comes in and, like Auburn. Auburn did it in a cultural way, which was like a quick turnover. They bring Cam Newton in, who's basically already been kicked out of Florida, out of JUCO. They bring in all the JUCO money bag recruits you can for 1 year. You win a national championship, but that's a bad culture. So that's not going to last.
And it didn't. Chinook was gone quickly.
Exactly.
I would bet you anything that the culture
and there was nothing
at Alabama
left over from that national
is not
championship.
Great.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I don't know.
When's the last time you heard people talk about how much they love Saban?
That's true.
It never
happens. I think a part of it is he gets the right assistants sometimes under him to
yes.
to
be yeah, what's the that guy's name? The guy that buys all of his players.
Tosh Lupoy.
There you go. That's the one. That's my point. If you want to have, if you want to set up long sustained success far after Scott Frost is there, the only way to do it
is Bagman.
Is Bagman. Or to get another Scott Frost.
Right. Well, that's of course.
Okay, yeah. To get the hottest coach.
That's a tough thing.
In the last
thing.
20 years.
That's Are you talking hottest in what way?
Both.
Okay, got
Both.
It.
But
Heupel was not without credentials. And here's the other thing about Central Florida. That's the biggest university in the country.
What, in the country?
In
I knew it was the biggest
the country.
In Florida.
That is the biggest university in the country.
What is?
Central Florida.
As far as student population.
Yeah. Now, a lot of it is a commuter school, and that's a, but it's being built up because the whole thing is they want it to be a big university to compete with the others.
It's funny how it's some of the schools that surprise you with it, because it's a lot of mid-majors, because when I was at VCU, I didn't realize.
Could they spend the money on the university instead of all the football program and stuff? I mean, what? Think about how many millions of dollars they could save by not having a good football team.
No, but that's what Central Florida did to raise their profile, is they put money into their athletic department, and that raises the profile of the school overall.
That's what it was with VCU when I was there, because I didn't realize VCU had 40,000 students or whatever.
Some of those state schools are huge.
But basketball was a big part of it for them. You gain an identity.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to think about basketball. You don't have to spend nearly as much money either.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's true. And that's why schools like, you know, Butler or whatever, you put your money into the basketball program.
Butler.
It's a lot easier to get notoriety that way than, a football program is. You only see them try to bring up a new football program in like Georgia or Florida.
Okay.
Georgia State was one that like all of a sudden started football. You're not going to see a school in the Northeast or in California be like, you know what? We're going to put in $50 million and start a football program. It just doesn't happen anymore like that.
No. Man, we got animated there for a little bit.
That happens when I'm right. So let's talk about seniors. Because this will lead into, should we do this like pardon interrupt PTI style?
Where you just go through it? You're running this damn show
here.
Yeah,
just say a subject and we'll wear it out and then we'll move on to the next one.
Okay, so we'll just combine we'll combine the first two.
Sure.
So, yesterday's game, defense, special teams, seniors.
Separate your words.
Pat understood me.
Yesterday's game, special teams, defense, seniors.
All right.
That's
I may have gotten defense and special teams.
The game you didn't watch, Michigan State?
I watched the whole game.
Okay.
I saw Cam Taylor make that play where he tackled the dude, knocked the ball out. That was a huge play.
Yeah. That was a hell of a play.
It was. He should have gone for the ball a little more, I thought, but he tackled the guy and it jarred the ball loose.
Depending on whether or not Lamar decides to test the draft waters, he might be the starter next year.
He could be. He may be anyway. That might make Lamar decide whether to test the draft waters.
I hope.
Lamar comes back, I
think. I hope we got three really, really good corners in Taylor, Lamar Jackson, and DiCaprio Boodle next year.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Ooh, man, that would be a strength. That would go from a question mark to a strength in a year.
Say that one more
time. You still need depth. He wants Jackson to stay.
Having three really good corners in Cam Taylor, Lamar Jackson, and DiCaprio Boodle next year. That'd be a position of strength.
I think Lamar stays. I wonder what the line would be like.
It's going to depend entirely on what kind of draft grade he gets.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't even know if he dips his toes. I have a feeling that Scott Frost, or is it DeWitt? DeWitt does D-backs?
No, it's Travis Fisher.
Travis Fisher. If Travis Fisher and Scott Frost get in his ear a little bit and just be like, hey, man, you might go in the fourth or fifth round this year.
Oh, he may not even be drafted.
Right. But let's just
say. I think he needs another year of positive tape.
Best case scenario, and they're going to go, you know, we can get you in that second round.
Probably true, actually. That's a fairly good argument.
I mean, that's about where they got Mike Hughes last year, right? Was it second round that Hughes went?
I think so.
Where'd Shaquem go? Shaquem?
Was he Shaquem Griffin?
Shaquem? Where'd Shaquem Griffin go?
He went in the second round, I thought. Late second round, early third, maybe?
I thought he was third.
Third round, maybe middle of the third to Seattle.
Oh, by the way, now that I'm pulling that up, it was 13-12 was the
score of that.
That Big 12 championship game.
Oof, 13-12.
Which one?
The Texas-Nebraska one.
Oh.
The Sioux game.
Oh, so, God. Yeah, where they gave him that extra second. So actually, I say it over and over. Sue was too good on that play. He got to him too quickly.
Yeah.
He got to him in just the exact amount of right time. They didn't have that 1 second left, and they gave it to him anyways. And
that's probably true.
Shaquem went in the fifth round, by the way.
Fifth round. But the point is, so who are the seniors? You got Neil.
Yep.
Let's do defense first. You have Neil. You have
Antonio Reed, who played his ass off yesterday.
Yep. Yeah. Stoltenberg.
One of the Williams safeties.
Aaron Williams. Yeah.
Oh, Aaron Williams. I was thinking of the Carlos and Khalil Davis.
No, they're not yet.
They're not. They're juniors.
But Mick Stoltenberg, more value as a senior leader than as a player.
Gifford? Probably. Yeah.
Gifford. Yes.
Oh.
Dedrick Young.
Dedrick Young. Thank God. He can get
he's come along a little bit this year.
A little bit.
All right.
But, yeah, he won't be missed too much.
Mike Hughes went in the first round, by the way.
Whoa. Wow.
Well, he started out his career in a Power 5
in North Carolina. Jackson has probably more talent, like God-given talent,
but he needs
anybody
to,
on that UCF
He needs another
team.
Year.
I mean, Hughes ended up at UCF because of a domestic violence accusation.
I remember watching a video about that, and you can tell like it seems like he's changed.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to ever say for sure.
Yeah, of course.
But he
that topic and that sport are so intertwined. It's always going to raise a lot of questions about the game itself and the health of the players. And it's the same thing as nature nurture. Is it that you're in a violent game for so long, so your life is so violent? Or is it that you're a violent person, so you're drawn to a violent game?
Or is it both?
Somewhere in the middle with that. But those two things.
Or it varies from person to person.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. There's, of course, that. But there's such a theme of those connected things, and I know we don't want to do a domestic abuse episode,
but we have.
Well, and people can go listen to
and
that.
Zach
one.
Smith did go off again on Twitter this week.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yes,
we should. Here's my pitch.
I want to do your game before I have to jet, which is in like 15
this
minutes.
This is a different pitch.
Oh.
We should get Zach Smith to come on here and spill the beans about.
Oh, imagine we would
about
get,
Tom Herman and Urban Meyer.
Oh my God! There's no reason.
And like you said, we'd be honest. Like, listen, dude.
Yeah,
we'll shit on you.
Yes, but we'll let you shit on whoever you want.
Definitely gonna shit on Urban Meyer and Tom Herman too, because if there's two things I can guarantee I don't like,
well,
it's
you know
Urban Meyer in Texas.
We let him do the shitting first,
you got anything
and then
on,
if
you got
he wants to
Colorado?
Hang up on us after we start shitting on him, that's fine. We've already gotten our part.
No, we'll be up front. Like,
yeah, I'm not trying to lie to anybody.
No, but he just wants to be heard. You're right.
Yeah, and nobody will let him be heard. I'll let him be heard. Hell yeah, you come on here. I would love to know what you have to say about Texas. Let's get it out
really
there. You got anything on Alabama? You got anything on Colorado?
I feel
Iowa?
Like he has better options, although he doesn't have great options.
He doesn't
options.
Have any options right
well,
now. Where
Dan
you take
Dockage
him.
Wanted to have him on, and then the explosion happened, and Brenda Tracy called Dan Dockage out, and he's like, no, I'm not having him on the show anymore. But then like a day or two later, Dan Dockage kind of went to the mat for Zach Smith. It's you only dropped him because you were
the
receiving
pressure
like from advertisers and stuff like that. Like,
we don't got no advertisers.
Well, but I think
we do have one.
I think you're right. If we were to bring
him
on. I
don't think that betting online is going to care if we have Zach Smith on.
Probably not.
You think that, I don't know, LasVegas.com, you think they give a shit?
But
we
would have to bring him on under those conditions where it's like, no holds barred for everybody, bro, because otherwise we would take shit for, you know, we couldn't have him on and do a little like redemption kind of interview.
No, I don't want to give Zach Smith redemption.
Right. And
no,
so
I just no, I
but
just
that's why I don't know that he would be so willing to come.
Let's not,
this guy doesn't give a
that's
shit.
True.
I don't think
that's
he
true.
I don't think he wants redemption. His tweets aren't about redemption.
Let's
his tweets
it,
are about
then.
Vengeance.
Let's do it then. Big
and
Red
if there's
Cop
one
cast,
thing, dude, we'll
get out there.
Oh man. I'll start hitting him up today. I'll just start tweeting him today. We'll make...
Say, listen, we hate Ohio State and Texas.
Yeah.
Come on.
You got any other schools you want to shit on, man? I hate a bunch of schools. You got anything on the Ferentz?
He's going to want to shit on Dubs in Nebraska,
yeah.
though.
Dubs? Remember? They had that little battle.
That's fine. You can shit on Dubs. I'll just stick up for him. Be like, hey, man, Dubs is great. Dubs had a DUI. Yeah, you beat your wife to death almost.
See, I don't think
that. And then that, his argument is, no, I didn't.
I don't think that
counts. That's the whole crux of his argument right now is, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's
everyone
a good argument.
Everyone else says you did.
It's a good argument.
Everyone else who isn't parroting you.
No, it's not. It's not. If you're being super honest, the best argument you can have 99% of the times is, no, I didn't. It's literally the best argument.
This is true.
Having evidence for no, I didn't.
No, but
you got to have, you don't have evidence. You have text messages.
It doesn't
saying
even
you
matter
did.
About
evidence.
Evidence.
That's
she said. And I'm not going to, again, you steer me away from this. For a second, I forgot that we were actually recording on all this. Because, but honestly, you are right, Ryan. And I don't care what everyone, the president of the United States is proof. He has never said anything other than no, I didn't. Yeah. He has, despite proof, despite evidence,
but that's the thing is that
anything,
people on the internet think that proof is very different than what actual proof
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. But whatever you want to call proof, there's been internet
I
want to
call proof.
I'm not talking about Zach Smith. I'm talking about your point about never admitting.
Yeah.
That has
it's
worked.
It's the first thing a lawyer will tell you to do. First thing, either absolutely. Not talk or say you didn't do it.
The first thing they'll tell you is don't talk.
Well, yes.
I don't know. There's some lawyers out there that'll just be like, man, just say you didn't do it.
No, because you
can perjure yourself.
You could, yeah.
On stand, not in real life.
No, but you can always.
It's not illegal to lie. Ask me a question.
It
ask
depends
me,
on the context.
But it can also,
ask me what my favorite food is.
But it can also create mistrust with a jury. Yeah. First thing a lawyer would tell you is shut the hell up.
Always.
I don't know, man. If I was
a lawyer,
the first thing I would tell my client is two things. One.
Punch the cop in the throat and run.
Never punch a cop in the throat.
Good advice.
Okay, is that your first piece of advice?
Yeah, never punch a cop
strange
in the throat.
Strange first piece of advice, but good advice nonetheless.
No, you have to do something. You have to do something else to take their mind off the crime you've already committed.
Again, there's evidence to support what he's saying.
Yeah. And then deny both. I didn't do either.
Man, are you running
evil.
For president?
I know. It sounds like a politician.
All right. Okay. So.
Seniors.
offense.
Did we get all, I don't know that we got all the seniors,
Stanley,
did we?
I think we got certainly the big players on defense.
Gifford, you know what Gifford reminds me of? Is.
And the Eagles?
Yeah. The White Mamba.
Nate Jerry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably be a linebacker in the pros.
Looks like a member of the neo-Nazi organization.
Nate Gary. You said Nate Jerry.
I've been hanging around Tweety too long.
Yeah.
It's Gary.
It's Gary.
Yeah, it's Gary.
I said Jerry.
Yeah, I would say Gary too.
You used to say Jerry.
Your mom used to say Jerry.
I don't think my mom ever dated a Jerry.
Burn,
she was talking about the Germans.
Except when she said it was more like Jerry.
In World War II.
Extra double burn. Your mom had sex with a guy named Jerry.
Okay. Offense? Stanley Morgan? Michael Wilbon? Ozigbo?
So Ozigbo and Stanley.
Well, Wilbon, he's the senior.
Gerald Foster.
Right?
Gerald Foster. I like Gerald Foster. Just like I like Tanner Farmer. I'm not sold that they're great.
No, I'm with you. I like them too. But man, there's room to step up, potentially. On this line, I think.
Yes.
You got one more game to do it because it'll be the last time you ever play football. Kid.
But I mean, I'm saying I think Bo Wilson will be a better long term player than either of those two.
Possibly,
sure.
Yeah.
I like Tanner Farmer because he
is the center now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tanner Farmer talks a good game.
He does.
I like that in people.
He's a kid from Illinois who immediately. Got the Nebraska N tattooed on his arm.
Yeah, and look, the...
That's pretty solid. That's commitment.
Well, and he also didn't get drafted by... They tried to get him to be a preferred walk-on in Illinois, and so he hates them.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I was thinking about guys who are going to make the pros. He's not going to make the pros. But
Dwayne's a junior.
Who?
Farmer?
No, he's a senior.
Is he?
He's a senior.
Oh, shit.
But the offensive line actually yesterday, I thought, did pretty well.
The offensive line the second half of the season has done extremely well.
And what Michigan State was counting on doing, dominating us on the lines throughout the game, because they played like that boring SEC style of like, like you were saying, run into the back of your lineman, run into the back of your lineman, run into the back of your lineman and hope you slip through a crack at some point because you've beaten the crap out of the defense.
Michigan State's running backs were terrible yesterday.
But Nebraska ended up kind of turning the tide on them. And I thought they would have brought Washington in to close a little bit more. By the way, that jump from Washington, we haven't mentioned
that. With a knee brace on at
that. Was,
but not just a jump.
They said he jumped too high.
Yeah,
because
he
kind of lost his balance because he went so high up in the air that he couldn't cut when he landed or anything. It was impressive.
It was very impressive.
That was like a 46-inch vertical leap.
Zach Duvall
I bet was higher. Yeah. I bet it was higher than that. Speaking of Zach Duvall.
That's a 4-foot high jump.
I practice jumping over bars fairly often.
But they're on the ground.
Yeah, but if I know what an 8-inch bar is, I know what a 46-inch bar is, okay?
Oh, well, I bet that's a big difference.
I bet you he jumped.
So it's a 38-inch difference.
Yeah. You jump over an 8-inch bar, and he jumps over a 4-foot
bar.
No,
I just know, like, there's guys that, like, 46 inches isn't that crazy. I bet you he cleared much higher than that.
It's really crazy. That's a lot, man.
I can show you video on my phone of guys doing it.
Yeah, but there's a difference in clearing. And
I guess they also weren't doing it in a live game situation.
Yes. Or in pads.
That's fair. They weren't doing
it
in pads.
Or with a guy trying to take their legs out at the same time.
Deciding at the very last minute to do that
jump,
too.
That's a very good point.
Yeah,
that's
very springy. Good point. Very springy. Yeah.
Man, a year in strength and conditioning.
Well, that's like a Walter Payton move at the goal line.
This is my point. That's what I was going to make before we got into the weeds. If you look at yesterday's game, that's an SNC. That's a strength and conditioning victory.
Yeah,
that's what that is.
Yes,
that's why all of a sudden at the end, in the late third, early fourth, we started getting some drives going just a little bit. Was because they were getting tired and we weren't.
That's the difference of the
that's
conditioning
the
program.
That's what you know. The Huskers under Osborne were known as a fourth quarter team. Yeah, I have a feeling you're going to start to see the Huskers
absolutely
really opening it up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and they haven't even had a full year.
Oh, I
know. And you can't do much strength and conditioning
during the season. That's what the dominant teams do. That's what Alabama does.
Well, practice.
That's what Clemson does.
Yeah. It's all cardio.
Their games. I mean, Alabama was tied at 10 at the half yesterday to Citadel. And they won the second half 50-7.
Yeah, because Citadel died in the third quarter.
Of course. And then Citadel's that's a total difference.
It's a non-scholarship military school that's not one of the well-known academies.
Right.
That has no women going to school there.
No.
Not exactly a recruiting hotbed.
No, but no women there. Strong legs for all the players there. They're rested. But, like, dominant teams, when Nebraska was dominant, when all these teams were winning national championships, the blowouts occur in the second half often because of what you're talking about. The advantage in strength and conditioning. And that's where we're headed. Like, I'm thinking Washington, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but, like, Walter Payton would score a goal. He was kind of would score goal line touchdowns jumping over the pile. You don't see that quite as much with running backs anymore. I feel like Washington could do it and land on his feet.
Yeah.
You know, like he could get over the
Washington could he could flip and then land on his
feet. Who else used to jump like that?
Marcus Allen.
Tommy Armstrong.
I got to go in 5 minutes. I got a 2-year-old's party to go to.
All right. Shut
that
up.
That kid will
shut
not
up,
remember
Joe.
The party.
It's not the kid that you have to deal with. It's the sister-in-law.
He hates his sister-in-law.
I don't hate my sister-in-law, but my brother will give me.
You didn't talk to her for over a year.
That was because they refused my ping pong table.
Right.
Well.
So you must not care about her that much.
I would have talked at any point. I'm never the one not doing the talking. I'm not a very good silent treatment person. I'm fine if you give it to me because I don't really care because I'll just keep talking. But I rarely give someone the silent treatment because if I give you the silent treatment, it deprives me of talking.
I don't like giving or receiving the silent treatment.
I don't care.
Yeah, I'm with Joe.
It drives me bananas.
People think about you, Pat, and that's a strength.
It's a weakness.
No, because I like to know, for better or for worse, what people are thinking.
Of course.
And left to my own devices, it's not good.
Right. You always go worst case scenario.
Yeah.
It's weird, because I always go worst case scenario and then go, I don't care.
There you go.
They think I'm a rapist. Don't care.
Well,
that's a pretty...
I think worst case scenario. I'm not a rapist. Clearly.
Sure.
I wouldn't.
There you go.
Look
with
at
your
this
denial.
Face.
Look
I'd
at this
say
face.
Rapist murderer's worst case scenario. I'm going to go with.
All right. Iowa Hate Week?
We're in it.
Anything you want
Isn't
to
that every
Iowa?
Week? Can we talk about
to make it Husker Max friendly? F Iowa.
Yeah, and or how about Fant Iowa? That F word. You guys think Noah Fant is coming to Nebraska?
No, I don't think he is. But I think we were sniffing around.
I think that
when he wasn't seeing the field.
Yeah. I haven't ruled it out.
They used him very heavily yesterday.
Yeah,
I don't think that was a coincidence.
No, they'll use him heavily in this against Nebraska too. I think.
But every time he gets tackled,
the guy's saying, hey, see you next year.
Yeah,
here.
See you next year, bud. You wanna,
and he's
you
going to the pros
the
next
team?
Year. We got our Noah Fant with the kid from Omaha, Burke.
Oh,
Hickman?
Chris Hickman. Honestly, Jack Stoll's going to be
my
NFL
least
tight
favorite
end.
Town in Nebraska.
What? Hickman? We used to play American Legion baseball in Hickman.
Why did you not like Hickman? Because of the name?
I dated a girl and I hate her parents.
Okie dokie. Mm.
Hickman kids went to Norris High School.
Yeah.
Did they call you the Dickman?
No. No, they didn't. They called me a poor construction worker.
Ooh.
And they said they were going to, her mom told me that she was going to send her father over to whoop my dad's ass or something like that. That's what the mom said. And I was like,
that seems unlikely.
Yeah. I don't know if you've met my dad, but he's got wrists. Oh, boy. She was an idiot.
Yeah, he's got wrists.
He's got like.
She's not prepared for that.
Dude, like, my dad.
He can move his hands.
If you want to see how strong a man is, just look at how big his wrists are.
So you think your dad could smack you in the face with your own arms?
My dad did. That's how the conversation started.
Oh, okay. But you think
your dad is stronger than Grant Wistrom?
I think that I'm stronger than I was when I was 17.
Oh, yeah. All right.
My dad could not bring it, Dad. Well, he's also 78 years old. But you ain't slapped me with my own hands now, old man.
Wow.
Nor is Grant Wistrom, nor is...
I think Wistrom can.
Sue probably could. That's the line. It has to be someone's Sue-level strength. Someone that's basically going to be stronger... They're going to have to break the bone in my arm.
I think I could.
I'm going to lock my arm, but they're not going to move it.
But they can move it without breaking your arm.
No, they can't.
Yes, they can.
No, they can't.
You're saying that the strength of your holding your muscles is strong enough
to keep Grant Wistrom from taking it and
you
punching
to,
me in the
you
face
just have
with
to get
it?
To the, you just have to get to the elbow.
Not only that. You have to get him from down here. I'm using my entire shoulders, arms, chest.
We waste a lot of theoretical time on this. We need to make it happen somehow.
Yeah. Grant has said he will do it.
I know.
We got to make it happen.
And he gets out
Let's
here
make
sometimes.
A
GoFundMe for his plane ticket.
Or we take a summer trip out to Missouri.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. We could do kill two birds in one stone if we did that.
What's the other bird?
I want to go through a Husker workout, and Grant Wistrom would know what they look like.
Ooh.
I want to see how long I have to before I puke.
Gibby Duvall follows us on Twitter now.
I know.
Oh, well,
that's
then
another get, one. I
then,
would do it. I also want to take a spark test.
Oof. I would puke in the first 3 minutes. I'm in the worst shape of my life.
I almost puked running wind sprints the other day, so I don't think it would take much.
I've puked three times in the last year doing sports.
I'm more of a get lightheaded and see stars than
I'm not. I'm more of a running.
That always precedes the puke for me. I always make it to the puke. You must.
I would be more likely to pass out. I haven't gotten to that point ever, but I think I would be more
I'm
likely
too competitive,
to pass out.
And all it takes is for someone to challenge me.
In the last 2 years, I've been playing soccer, tennis, and softball.
Even when I'm sick, it takes like a pretty heavy dose of food poisoning for me to
you got
start
a solid
lurching.
Constitution?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't puked. The last time I puked was after a workout like 2 years ago.
And the problem with those pukes out in public, like if I'm puking at home, I have a theory that if you scream while you're puking it makes the process a little bit easier. First of all, you're kind of laughing at how loud you just were when you puked. So if you puke like in the toilet, next time just make sure you go, ah! If you scream as loud as you can when you're puking, A, it gets everything out quicker, and B, it's pretty funny. And so you kind of forget because you're laughing at it.
What do you think the score is for next week?
This is good to get the score. I got to go soon. I keep saying.
Say 31-21.
Okay.
I'm going to say 24-13. Because here's the thing about shitty Iowa. They haven't cut the grass there this year. It's like Northwestern. The only way they can compete is by making everyone run in shag carpeting. Do they have a
I think they have field turf.
I've heard the same thing about
Iowa, too. A grass field. Look it up, Pat. You look everything else up.
I heard that. Actually, you're not the first person I've heard say that about them, so it makes me wonder.
No, I'm pretty certain Iowa
It's like
has
a jungle out
turf.
There. Sometimes I wonder how I keep from going under.
I gotta
don't push us, because we're close to the edge. We're trying
just
not to
lose
our
heads.
Dear God.
Rapper's delight.
They've had field turf since 2000.
I was actually doing Can't Nobody Take My Pride by Puff Daddy.
Which is sampling the thing.
Right.
Kinnick Stadium has had field turf since 2009. They last had, they had grass from 89 to 2008.
Oh.
So it's been a minute.
But you know what they do?
Great take, Joe.
You know what they do? They keep putting new layers of field turf on other layers of field turf. You're supposed to pick up the old field turf. They got six layers of field turf there people are running through.
Just because. Oh,
what an awful take.
So you, what was your score?
I said 31-21.
I'll stick with my score, but the reason will be different.
What was it? So get on
it. It was 24-13 because the grass keeps growing. I'm going to say it's 24-13 because they keep laying down layers of field turf.
So
I'm sticking with my surface.
Here's the thing. I got bitched at yesterday by a guy because he says I never Brent Pope. Because he says I never take picking a score seriously.
Right. You're always like 69-3.
Right. So this time what I want to do is I'm going to appease Brent, and I'm really going to think about it. Brent.
Go 69-3.
Hey, don't tell me what to do.
Got it. Did I ruin it?
Yeah, 69-3 is the score. I think it's gonna be 69-3. Way to blow the bit, you dumbass!
You were setting up the whole.
God,
I figured it out
it's
as soon
like
as I said it.
Amateur hour over here.
Well,
holy
always.
Shit!
It always
you
is.
Do stand up.
Well, stand ups are. I mean, if you're gonna cite his stand up,
I'm operating on my own.
Yeah, if you're gonna cite his stand up, that is the reason
you
he would screw
have
things
to set
up.
A joke,
like,
though.
You should say you're an improviser. You shouldn't. You
the
should.
The whole
know.
Point is that Brent Pope's an idiot, and the score is 69-3.
If you could have seen the look of disdain
oh,
on Tweety's
so
face just now.
Yeah, nothing makes me more angry than someone. It's like being, have you ever done an improv set where you have a whole thing and you're molding it and it's great. And
that
the
doesn't
last
sound
minute,
like improv to me.
It is. That's what improv is. It's
oh, I see you're molding it as a group and a unit and everything.
And then one guy blows it for everybody.
Yeah. It's usually me.
Yeah.
So thanks, Pat.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Right. No, actually, I'm pretty used to it just in life.
Guys, I gotta go.
We can't go yet because we have to do the. So we're gonna skip ahead. We were gonna do this last.
Let's do it
because
now.
Joe has to leave because
I gotta go. I'm gonna get yelled at. I shouldn't even be here now.
Adam Carriker of the Carriker Chronicles. You may have heard of him. He wants you to throw the bones,
sure.
And then he smiles at you.
Yeah.
Adam Carriker does the Character Awards.
Yeah.
And I've been watching them lately.
Yeah.
And I'm be honest. I don't agree with his choices.
Okay. So?
So we decided to do the Cobcast Character Award.
Nice.
And we're going to tell you who really deserves an award for character.
I got it.
And it's not Mo Berry for being a great leader. I'll tell you who it is.
Oh, who's yours?
Lamar Jackson.
Oh.
For hitting a man and then standing over him for just 2 seconds too long and getting that unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. But he looked like he hit him and he just stood over him. Dude, that guy was laying on the ground looking up at his ball sack. He just stood there and posed, and the guy had to look at his ball sack.
So you're giving him a character award for that, for putting his balls in the other guy's face.
Yeah, for punking that dude.
All right.
And just, he looked like a superhero for 2 seconds too long. And that is a Cobcast character.
All right.
Okay. Since you got to go, you want to go first?
Yeah. I'll stick around to hear yours, but I'm going to do mine now.
Okay, go ahead.
Mine is Antonio Reed. And this may seem more conventional, but after losing our first game of the season for us, that would have sent me into a death spiral. But he maintained his integrity throughout the season, and then he put a hit on that quarterback. That, I also want to credit the referees. And in fact, I'm going to change mine
to the referees
because early in the season, the referees were obviously taking the Big Ten's directive to make sure Nebraska loses under any conditions possible.
They had some moments yesterday. They really wanted us to be out of that game early.
They did have one. There was a pass interference call.
There was like five or six.
But here's where it is. When Antonio Reed hit that quarterback, that referee was getting a signal in his ear from the Big Ten that said, you can give a roughing the passer on that. He was close to his head. You can give him a roughing the passer. And he ignored Jim Delaney's secret message to him right there.
To Nate Gary him? Yes, exactly.
To get him out of the game. So I give the referees the character, Cobcast Character Award for ignoring the Big Ten's directive to cheat against us.
Great.
Yeah.
My Cobcast Character Award goes to the person or persons who made all the GIFs of Maurice Washington jumping because, man, that kid is so excited seeing them today. Maurice Washington is like a kid on Christmas seeing all these GIFs of him jumping over the moon and over the Grand Canyon.
Did you see the one on ESPN where it had him like just jumping over thing after thing after thing?
Yeah. No, it was on ESPN of him doing that? Oh, I got to check that out.
I think that's the one Mo was most excited about.
Oh, I'm sure.
Getting on ESPN.
That kid has pure, unadulterated, childlike joy seeing that right now.
This is a little early to call, but at the end of it all, my two favorite Huskers of all time might be playing for us right now.
Whoa.
I could see myself.
DiCaprio Boodle?
Yep. And Maurice Washington.
Wow.
Because he's so silly.
Yeah.
I love silly.
He is.
Silly people are my favorite.
And he's impossible to bring down. All right. Speaking of childlike wonder.
Yeah.
I really have to go to this two-year-old's party.
Go get that birthday party.
All right. Like,
but we're going to.
Fatty drives a bus for me, but not for these
guys. It's not even the right. It's
Fatty
right.
rides a bus. I'm
it's not over, though.
I was pitching the movie by Trauma Film Production.
Okay.
All right.
See you later, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
We can only hope we don't. All right.
So you got rid of one guy who ruins your day, and you have to deal with the other guy who ruined your day by messing up your bit.
By ruining my bit. Les Miles? Want to talk about Les Miles?
Yeah, we got a lot of people asking us about that.
Yeah. Les Miles is going to Kansas.
It's official.
Been inked.
I think it's now official that Mike McIntyre is out at Colorado.
Yeah, that's also official. That was official last week.
Well, it wasn't official. It was coming out via the news, but I think today it was official.
But he's finishing the season, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Les Miles is a good hire there because they've already got, provided he keeps, he's got an assistant or two who's got recruiting inroads in Louisiana. If he can keep him and then build upon that because of his history in Louisiana, and then start to make inroads in the Kansas City metro area.
St. Louis. Thank you. St. Louis, that could really hurt us.
Yeah. I mean, at least we wouldn't be going up against them.
Who?
Kansas.
Oh,
I mean,
right,
it's
right,
not
right.
like we're slaying it in Missouri right now.
Yet.
Yeah.
If we want to have any sustained success, though, we're going to have to start.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that doesn't then, like, start to make Tanner Corcoran the 2020 offensive lineman from Kansas, who we've been really hot and heavy on. I hope that doesn't make him start to reconsider, because there have been a lot of people like, when's he going to
pull? Five-star, right?
He's a four-star, technically, but he's...
I think he's a five-star on Rivals.
Mm. But yeah, Corcoran,
because we had two five stars come with.
Well, we had two 2021 five stars from Texas come in.
Oh. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
and then Nash Hutmacher is a 2020 guy. That's a four star borderline, right?
He's a four star, but we only want him as a defensive tackle. Everyone else wants him as an offensive lineman.
He's probably going to commit to us.
I hope so.
It's looking favorable.
We're in on some 500 mile radius linemen on both sides.
The next 2 years are really big in the Colorado.
We could
Kansas
really
City, Nebraska.
We could really,
Iowa has a couple coming out.
Yeah, our front lines could be amazing if we do what we look like we could potentially do.
Yeah.
I mean,
next year can go a long way.
So I don't like, I think Kansas needs to prove more commitment to football besides just getting less miles in.
Yeah, you got to put more money into it.
Yeah, because, I mean, Charlie Weiss had some success at Notre Dame, and granted, you know, I think he was overrated there, but then they brought him into Kansas, and he was terrible at Kansas. Like, coaches are precipitously worse at Kansas usually.
Here's my thing. Kansas always gets people past their prime, too. So, like, Les Miles is like 70.
No.
He's old.
He's not young. You're right. Let's pull up the old birth year for Les Miles.
But my point is that you're getting these guys past their prime that don't have the heart and the drive. If you, what?
Sort of like when we got Mike Riley.
It's exactly like when we got Mike Riley. But Mike Riley was smart enough to get Dante Williams and K-Dub and those guys. But he was also dumb enough to get Freddie and
Freddie,
the running backs coach.
Oh, why am Reggie. I drawing a name? Reggie Jackson. Yeah. Not Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Davis.
Reggie Davis. There we go.
They called, one of the recruits called him Freddie.
Les Miles was born in 1953, so he's 65.
Okay, I was not that far off.
No, not really. You got a bunch of stuff in your ear right now, don't you?
Yeah, I fixed it. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. So you get a team like Kansas, you think a 65-year-old Les Miles is doing anything other than collecting money for retirement? Get out of here. That's crazy talk. He does not give two shits about winning. You got to go in and you got to get a Kansas's version of Scott Frost. Who is that?
There is no such thing because they have no tradition.
Well, there you go.
Focus
on basketball, kids.
Aqib Talib, who still plays for the Rams. That might be the best player to come out of Kansas since Gale Sayers.
Is he alive?
I believe so.
Well, Gale Sayers, maybe he could be the head coach.
He's an Omaha native.
But anyways, you don't want that old guy anyways. You want a young guy. You want row the boat guy. Like, Minnesota did it right. What's his name is cheesy.
He's very cheesy.
But Minnesota is going to be better under him, probably.
Yeah, they're even if they don't get six wins, they're in line to get into a bowl game ahead of us, which sucks. I think, we just barely got eliminated from bowl contention last night. So close. Yeah. I was holding out hope, but I'm still rooting against Colorado to get into a bowl game.
I'm still rooting against Colorado forever.
Great. Yeah, Minnesota needs to beat Wisconsin to get to six wins this season. So in his second year, Scott PJ Fleck might still have the same amount of wins as Scott Frost in his first year. And Scott Frost had a harder schedule this year.
Yeah. He's also better.
Scott Frost is much better.
Yeah.
But there's a more genuine side. I mean, the argument you were making earlier, there's a more genuine side to Scott Frost than just about any other coach.
And that's being Midwestern. Like, that's the thing. This is just to sort of reiterate that point. I remember doing an audition, a commercial audition, Killian's Workshops, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the note that I got, because I'm not a great actor, but the note that I got was that there was a very genuine side to when I would read lines. And I think that is because I'm Nebraskan. Like, I'm from the Midwest. A guy like Scott Frost, the reason that he relates is because he is. The reason he relates to fans is because he is one of us. He's not, you know, Bill Callahan pretending to be one of us. Well, Bill Callahan never even tried to be one of us.
Yeah. But the other value,
too. But Riley tried to be one of us. And he wasn't. He was hokey.
Yeah. I think he did what he thought Nebraskans were.
And that's the thing.
And I think that's what happens sometimes when people from around the country come out to, like, New York or L.A., too. They perform what they think is a New Yorker is.
Right.
And they're usually the ruder ones than the actual people from New York.
People from L.A. are actually great. It's all the people from Ohio that moved to L.A. that suck.
Yeah. But I think the other value, you talk about relatability. I mean, Scott Frost has been just about everywhere since leaving Nebraska. You know, he's been in Florida. He's been in Cleveland. He's been in New York. He's been in Oregon. He's been in Iowa. You name it.
He went to Stanford because he's smart, which I think is overlooked a lot.
Yeah. You know, and I think the other thing that he does, too, there are people who are smart and want you to know that they're smart. And there are people who are smart and don't want to advertise it. And he knows how to be the very relatable as a person. He can keep computing things up here, but communicate as a layman.
Which is, I think, a struggle for a lot of smart dudes, is they're not good communicators.
Part of what made the TV show The Sopranos so good. So you get a lot of people who are smart writers who write every character like they're smart and verbose like they are.
Right.
And David Chase knew how to write characters who weren't like him. And I think Scott Frost is kind of in that same vein a little bit. Because David Chase with The Sopranos knew how to write these guys who were maybe smart in a different way,
right,
who weren't like linguists, but you know were gangsters. But so he knew how to tap into a different part of the brain, and I think Scott Frost knows how to do that too. And he also can identify guys who have that same type of level of smarts as what he's got as well. You're just able to identify things. It's fun to watch the way he computes. I was actually watching some of his press conference last night with my wife, who really doesn't watch a lot of football, but she was identifying some of these same kinds of traits in him, and I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, he's a wicked smart. all right, what else do we have on our list?
Yeah.
Oh, that Kentucky dude. So he, I couldn't, I didn't get the, I couldn't. Foley, Joe wanted me to tell this. I don't know why. I was watching a Kentucky player do a press conference. I think it was post game yesterday. Apparently, they didn't have a good turnout for senior day at Kentucky or something like that. And he was like,
because everyone knows they're a paper tiger right now, too.
Right. And he was basically, and in his thing, he said, Nebraska's 0-5. At 0-5, Nebraska has 80,000 fans in their stadium. And it's like, well, it's 90,000, but who's counting?
Also, 0-6 was what we, and now it's 4-7.
Right.
So take that back.
Right. But what he's saying is that if they can have people fill their stadium when they're winless, how come we can't have people fill any stadium? These are the, and he, his argument was, these are the players that made the team, better. Like they were shite and now they're not. And it's these players that did it and no one's showing up for their senior day and it's disrespectful. I didn't care that much because it was Kentucky, but that was what I read.
Well, I mean,
I'd be watched.
We probably wouldn't care about that quote if it weren't for a guy who just picked Kentucky over Nebraska.
Yeah.
But come on, Wandale. Unless you can play point guard, nobody at Kentucky is going to care about
you. Nobody cares. Twitter?
Yeah, there's...
It's hard in this season because it's just...
Yeah. And so... Terrific Great says, we'll never get revenge on McIntyre now. No, but we can get revenge on the rest of Colorado, because McIntyre, I feel like, was the least of our worries.
It's Collier.
Collier and all those shit fans. I wanted us to get into a bowl game and them not to, because like, so a Colorado fan, after your tweet about that, I hope we get Colorado in a bowl game so we beat them by 4 touchdowns.
I believe my exact quote was we beat those bitches by 4 touchdowns.
Yes, it was. I edited it. So one guy...
Because Pat's a coward.
No, just because I thought it was going to be shorter. One guy quote tweeted it and tagged Old Takes Exposed. I was ready to quote tweet his tweet that just said Old Takes Exposed and tag Old Takes Exposed if we made a bowl and they didn't, but... Alas, it wasn't to be.
Old tweets exposed. What a dumb thing to tweet. Old tweets exposed.
There's a Twitter account that just take, or is it Old Takes Exposed? Something like that.
Oh, and so when people talk shit, you post and, dude, here's, you know what? Let me tell you what the problem with the world is today. nobody can just take a little bit of shit talk anymore. You know, you shit talk and then you're wrong. And then 6 months later, everybody's like, oh, look, he was wrong when he was shit talking. It's because I was shit talking. That's what shit talking is. There's no facts to it. It's pure emotion. It's pure anger and rage and a little bit of fun times. Okay. That's what it is. Colorado. Old takes exposed. Stupid idiot.
I found the tweet ready to go with it yesterday, but yeah, then we got knocked out. Brandon Stack already asked us what our take was on Les Miles to Kansas. Well, we answered it, Brandon. So, but I mean, you didn't know we answered it when you tweeted at us.
What was the question?
What's your take on Les Miles to Kansas? So you anticipated Brandon Stack's question.
Cool.
You already pointed out that Ryan Pelu tweeted hashtag Kick Joe. JT says, which Iowa football pages do we troll till we bring the pain on Friday?
God, all of them. Blackhearts, gold pants.
Hashtag Iowa sucks. Hashtag Huskers. I wish he wouldn't have put the hashtag in between Iowa sucks and Huskers. Because Iowa's about to suck Husker nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, you know that old thing that people do where they suck your nuts?
Yeah.
Because you can't say the other word.
I mean, I don't know. A bunch of people just, okay, here's one. The janitor says, tried to Google search the voicemail number so I could leave a drunk voicemail in the voice of Mickey Mouse. No quick fix results. We'll try again sober. That came 8 hours ago.
That number is...
I tweeted the number at him.
Okay, good.
What is that number? But if you want it, it's 747-998-2976.
747 like the jet.
Yep.
669 like 668.
No.
996.
No.
276.
I thought you said you memorized this.
I did, but that was like 2 months ago. I forgot it.
You forget it all the time.
746.
No.
747.
Yeah.
998.
998.
The jet, the year I graduated with a stutter. 2976.
There you go.
Which is two porno movies. For two porno phone calls.
747-998-2976.
The jet, the stutter graduation, and two porn phone calls. In case you're into mnemonics.
Okay. Nailed it. We nailed it. King J. Hip pointed out that DiCaprio Boodle made a list of great names in college football.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Some of the other names on there, I want to read some of these. Charleston Rambo from Oklahoma.
That is a good one.
Puka Williams from Kansas. Mm. His teammate, Hassan Defense.
Now that's a good one.
He's a defensive back. Maryland quarterback, Legend Brumbaugh. Ohio State's Tough Borland. Texas has a wide receiver named Lil Jordan Humphrey. Rocky Lombardi from Michigan. They marked him down as a defensive back on here. He's a quarterback, idiots. Stanford has a kicker named Jet Toner. And Cal has a offensive lineman named Gentle Williams.
Oh, that's cute.
I love ridiculous names.
Yeah, me too.
Studio Walters says, not saying we can't beat Iowa, but they destroyed Illinois today, 63-0. We did not do that. You're right, we didn't. But also, I think Illinois is in the tank.
Yeah. And also Iowa sucks.
Agreed. Agreed. Let's see here. I can't remember what this was in response to. Oh, Dallas Davis said, what's the odds we make a bowl and Colorado doesn't? That was before we officially got eliminated. I said, unlikely that either of us makes a bowl. And then... he was trying to figure out who said that. And so Dallas says, Pat, you aren't bought in. Please head over to the Oregon State podcast. Hashtag not bought in.
Yeah, that's true. If there's one
thing, I'm bought in. We didn't make
if there's one, if there's one thing Pat isn't, it's bought in.
I'm bought in like a, yeah, no. Ben Daly pointed out the Colorado fans were throwing snowballs and getting trouble in the game against Utah. And he said, weird, Colorado fans throwing stuff onto the field. Who knew?
Yeah.
That's enough tweets for right now. We got pretty deep. Oh, there's another hashtag Kick Joe.
Cool. Those are important. Keep those coming. All right.
How you feeling?
I feel pretty good, man. I'm actually really excited for this off season.
Yeah. I still think we have to be somewhat realistic about some holes to fill as far as like, because I think now after watching the turnaround from this year, we're at the point where we were last year heading into the season. We're like, oh yeah, now we're going to completely turn it around. And I think we still could. I think we can see what this program can do, but we've still got some pieces to fit in to really, really get it humming perfectly.
Yeah. I think that the second half of the season, I mean, we were plays away from being potentially 8-5, 9-4. I mean, the only game we straight up lost was Michigan and Purdue maybe.
Yeah. This senior class, it sounds like, has been very good as far as like glue and leadership. As far as straight up talent, not a lot. So that leaves some encouragement. But Stanley Morgan is a transcendent talent. That's going to be tough to replace.
I mean,
and we're going to have to figure it out.
And I'm going to say this with the utmost respect for Stanley Morgan.
Okay.
Being the best receiver at Nebraska, breaking all those records, isn't that huge of an accomplishment.
It's not the same as breaking the rushing record at Nebraska with all the history of running backs. I'll give you that.
But
it's not like there have been tons of receivers to take pressure off of him.
Where do you think he's getting drafted?
Somewhere in the 3rd to 5th round.
Okay, so he's not a transcendent talent. So the transcendent talent goes in the first round.
Well,
he's a very good receiver. The reason I say this is I don't want everybody panicking, like, how are we going to replace? We've already got a better receiver on the team. He's not Stanley Morgan.
I think Stanley's better than JD.
Well, you're about to be proven completely and horribly wrong.
Well,
when he breaks every record and he shatters them. He doesn't just break them, he shatters them. If I had to choose,
I think Stanley's a more complete player.
If I could switch that Stanley was a junior and Spielman was a senior, I wouldn't.
I would.
I would not.
I would take you up on that in a heartbeat.
Fine. That's great. But
also, Spielman is a sophomore.
Right.
So, I mean, right now, Stanley should be better.
I just don't think he is.
I mean, at this point, he's better than Spielman.
I don't think he is. I think that Spielman as a sophomore is every bit as good as Stanley as a senior.
I think Spielman could be better.
I think he is. And I also think that my point is this, and this is the only reason I say it, is because I don't want people to panic thinking, how are we going to replace Stanley Morgan?
Well, no.
It's not that hard. Well, you said transcendent talent is fairly irreplaceable. So, and the reason, and I, that's why I just,
I don't think we have anybody behind it. I mean, I'm not including Spielman because we've already got Spielman on the field right now.
I love,
but the person who fills
Stanley Morgan's value is in his leadership. It's in his likability. It's in his ability to get people around him to play better. I don't necessarily think that he's the greatest receiver. He's good. He's very good. He's going to be hard to replace, but not impossible.
He's a receiver.
We should be having, in this offense, we should be having receivers go in the second, third round on a regular basis.
Right. But part of it is he's only had a year in this offense.
Sure.
Of film. But the other part of it too is he's a different kind of receiver than Spielman. He's a guy,
sure,
who can win at the line of scrimmage physically. Spielman right now at this point could be bumped off his route pretty quickly because he's so small.
But he doesn't get bumped off his route that easily, and he makes a lot of plays.
Morgan also, the physicality, when he catches the ball, he can make a decision to go up the field a lot quicker than Spielman will dance around a little bit more because he doesn't have the physicality of Stanley, which is why I say that Spielman could potentially be better than Stanley, but not yet at this point because he doesn't have the physicality that Stanley does.
He also dances around. I don't agree with that. He's very physical. I don't. I mean, I get that you're – I see the smug smile of Tweety's an idiot. I see – I get it. I get it. But it's just the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. Like
– I agree.
Stanley – so J.D. Spillman is – the reason he dances around is because he can.
But there are times where it does him no service, too.
Sure, but you can say that about Barry Sanders. You can say that about a lot of people that dance around. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes being physical at the line takes too long to get off your block and into your route, and then that doesn't work.
Well, if you have a guy giving you press coverage at the line, you have no choice but to get physical. Or if you don't, then you won't even get to your route. My main criticism of Spielman this year at times has been just get upfield and get the 6 yards that are there.
The reason that Spielman jumps around so much is because he's looking for that 60 yarder, which he gets a lot.
But there are other times too where he's done it and reversed field and gotten a block in the back. If you'd just taken the 10 yards ahead of him.
Sure, but there's also been times when he's done it and they call the block in the back and then you look at the tape and there was no block in the back.
I mean, when you reverse field, you're almost always going to get that called against you.
First of all, that's not his fault. That's the blocker's fault. Second of all, we've gone over this. There's plenty, we can go look at the tape. There's plenty of times when they've called that block in the back and we've watched the replay over and over and there was no block in the back. We both know that. We both know that's happened enough.
Right, but you also know as a player that's going to happen 9 times out of 10 whether it happens
It's not 9 times out of 10. That's such an over-exaggeration.
Well, also saying he's turned a lot of them into 60-yard runs.
He has.
60-yard runs don't happen every day.
Okay, 30-yard runs, 40-yard runs, and he's done it a lot.
We only had 2 of them last year as a team.
Yeah.
30-plus yard things.
You mean the worst team in the history of the Nebraska football program? Good point.
Well, what I'm saying is
he's done it a lot
this year. He does it all the time.
He does. Compared to the average, Spielman does it a lot. Huge gains,
but he's
big
also
chunks.
But what I'm saying is, he and Stanley Morgan are two different receivers.
There was a stretch where he was doing it every game.
But what I'm saying is, I'm not trying to compare Stanley and Spielman. You're saying because we lose Stanley, oh well, we've got Spielman. They're two different receivers, and the reason they benefit one another.
This is a separate argument than what the original argument was. My original argument was this: you said he was a transcendent talent,
which is probably a slight overstatement.
That's all.
I'll grant you that. But you go Stanley down to someone who wasn't playing this year, and that's a drop off.
Maybe
theoretically, because they're an unknown quantity. Stanley's been there to take the top off the defense a little bit. Spielman is a guy you get it to on the edge and then let him do some of the dance around and make something out of nothing.
Right, the thing you were saying you didn't want him to do is the thing that now you're saying that we should let him do.
Or get it to him on the perimeter and cut it upfield,
right.
Especially because there's better...
And he does it well and he does it frequently.
I wish he would do that, the cut it upfield a little bit more, because there's better blocking on the perimeter than there were in previous years.
Walters does
a hell of a job of getting our other wide receivers to block.
That's very true. Spielman, I don't know. To get back to our original point, we could argue about this all day because there's no way to prove it. So my point is this. I love Stanley Morgan. He's one of my favorites on the team. He's going to be one of my favorites for years to come. He is the light at the end of the tunnel is he's replaceable. He's not. I don't want to. I wish he could be here forever, but he can't. And he is. It's not a doomsday scenario to lose him.
No, it's not. But long story short, we're going to need someone to take his role because he and Spielman,
Miles, Tyjon Lindsey could do it.
What?
Miles Jones. You've got.
Did you say Tyjon Lindsey?
I was kidding.
Okay.
McGriff, the crime dog. You could get
McGriff and Stanley are two different. McGriff is now a tight end.
Right, but he's a bigger receiver. But you could put him out as a bigger receiver,
Who's a big body receiver.
Make him look like a. Who's the guy that plays for the guy that they switched to tight end in the NFL?
Niles Paul.
He could be a Niles Paul-esque receiver.
Well, the value though of Stanley isn't just that he's big. Yeah, it's that he can get
McGriff
he's a big guy who can get downfield.
McGriff's he's not slow. They're not recruiting slow.
No.
He's faster than Stoll.
But there's a reason they moved him to tight end, and it's not because he's a burner.
Because we had eight receivers, too.
We're better right now at tight end depth than we are at wide receiver depth.
That's what I'm saying. That you could see someone like, maybe it's not McGriff, but you could see one of those bigger bodied receivers that are faster.
It's going to have to be a McQuitty or a
McQuitty
Hunt.
McQuitty would be a good one. Hunt would be a good one. There's plenty of guys that can step up.
Or Mike Williams, even though he's not big, but someone to take the top off. Because again, Spielman's more your get it out on the edge kind of guy.
And
Morgan is your guy who's streaking down the field to stretch the defense.
Also, you don't need a guy that's exactly like Stanley Morgan to replace Stanley Morgan.
No, but you have to have someone to stretch the field. A bunch of guys going lateral, and suddenly the defense is in a far better position.
There's plenty of guys that could stretch the field.
There's a reason why Peyton Manning wasn't nearly as good at the end of his career, because there was no threat to go deep.
Because they didn't have Reggie Wayne?
Well, no, because his arm wasn't strong enough to go deep anymore. No. You have to have that threat.
You're gonna, down the field. And I think that we'll be just fine. Next year we're going to put up better numbers than this year without Stanley Morgan.
I suspect that we'll be fine, but it's going to come from someone who's currently unproven, and that's a little bit anxiety-inducing.
Or JUCO.
I think it's less likely to be a JUCO.
I think it's less likely to be a JUCO, too, and more likely to be McQuitty. Probably, if he could stay not being injured.
It would be friggin' Dominic Watt if we could have gotten him into school.
Oh, well, he might still, I mean, he has to get a degree,
It can't be this year.
Yeah.
It would be Dominic Watt. He'd probably be seeing the field this year already.
Yeah.
If
he wasn't so stupid.
Well, it sounds like he kind of got jerked around with his ACT.
Yeah, that's what I hear, too. They were saying they accused him of cheating or something like that.
Yeah. Man, that's a guy I wish we had right now.
He probably did.
Because it sounds...
I mean, just saying, you don't tend to get accused of cheating on the SAT or ACT unless they have a pretty good suspicion.
I don't know. Andre Hunt, they say, might be a year away physically. Because that's the guy who fits the prototype for that.
Look how much... I mean, we'll see. I wish we could put a thumbtack in this and come back to this conversation this time next year. We'll forget. But I have a feeling you're going to see someone. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Stanley Morgan. The dude's dope. I love that dude. But let's not.
Well, it won't be one person filling his production next year.
We'll see.
It'll have to come from, I think, from multiple sources, which is fine. Let's diversify our options.
Yeah, great.
But we're going to need someone to take the heat off Spielman.
For sure. Spielman's more effective.
Cade Warner is more a possession type receiver, but he's been a solid addition.
Right.
You were about to say.
Oh no, I think we'll find, as always, that I'm not near as wrong as the mocking that Pat gives me thinks I am.
I'm not mocking you.
If you guys could see his face.
But you weren't listening.
I'm listening to you. That's the thing. You think I'm not listening. I'm listening. I just don't think you're right. Or I don't think that that's the only truth. I think that there's sometimes several truths. I hear everything you say. And I just honestly don't think that the sky is falling. It's not.
No, I don't. And I wasn't arguing that either.
But you're not necessarily. But a lot. I mean, I read a lot of forums, as you do. And people are like, what are we going to do without Morgan? It's not.
Well, I think we'll be fine.
We'll be more than fine. We'll be better next year.
What my argument is, there's some level of uncertainty because we don't know who that. We can't. If Dominic Watt were in here playing this year.
We don't. Here's the thing. We don't not know who it's going to be. We know that it's going to be this group of receivers. It's not like we
who've either not seen the field.
Who's going to be our edge rusher next year?
That's a much bigger
concern because we don't even have one of those.
I think, although I feel better about the
who's
idea.
Who's going to replace Mick Stoltenberg?
Mick Stoltenberg barely played this year.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We also lost a lot when he wasn't playing.
We also won games when he wasn't playing.
We lost a bunch when he wasn't though, right?
Mick Stoltenberg is not a prototypical 3-4 defensive tackle.
No, he's not, but he's more valuable, I think.
He's there as a leader.
He was one of our best defensive linemen in the season.
No, he wasn't. Carlos Davis was our best nose tackle.
I didn't say he was the best. I said he was one of the best.
Carlos Davis and Damon Daniels were both better than Mick Stoltenberg on the field. Mick Stoltenberg's value was as a leader, not as a player.
I don't agree with that necessarily. Like, Mick Stoltenberg was good. He was very good.
How often do you watch the defensive line?
How many plays are there in a game?
I mean, on the defense, 50 to 60.
Losing people on the defensive line is going to be much harder for us to replace than losing people on the offense.
But
our offense is going to go no matter
what. We've actually got a lot of depth at nose tackle.
We'll see next year.
I feel fairly confident.
Damian Daniels is going to be
Carlos Davis. That's a nice. And then we'll get DeAndre Thomas back next year, although everybody he'll be kicked out to end.
Everybody was worried about defensive backs this year, too. And then they all of a sudden they were like, the defensive backs are stacked. And then they were worried again. Like,
don't have a lot of depth there, though.
We don't. We don't have a lot of depth on defense, period.
And I would love to add a JUCO edge rusher. But I do think Caleb Tanner got some valuable time, and he didn't get to come in until right before the season as a freshman.
Right.
And I think Caleb Tanner with Zach Duvall for a year.
And what about Breon Dixon? He never got a play.
Yeah, and it sounds like he's taken a little bit of a jump mentally right now.
Yeah, I think that a lot of it was people thought they were going to come in and play right away, and then when they didn't, they pouted, and now they're starting to get over the pouting.
Yeah, and I think having a guy like Mo Berry around is a big part of that, because Mo Berry, that's a guy who sneakily could get some draft grades. I hope he sticks around for senior year,
too. Yeah, he's going to stick around, I think. Yeah,
because I hope he's able to stick around and see the fruits of his labor.
That's what I think a lot of people are going to want to do, is stick around just to see, like, Lamar Jackson. Like, I want to see what really happens next year.
I think that would be a wise move.
It's the same reason that, like, Palmer and Roby and all those guys stuck around for Nebraska ball this season.
Well, they didn't get high enough draft grades.
Well, but they could have gone.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done the Walter Pitchford thing and gone to go undrafted and then never play anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of people thinking they were going to go. People were very surprised when they stayed. And I think I think it's because they saw some of these JUCO guys coming in, and then they saw, you know more about basketball than I do, but they just sort of saw what this team could be this year. And they stayed. And I think that's what you're going to get with Lamar Jackson. You're going to get with.
Got some big Nebraska ball games this week, too.
I know. If I can watch them. There's one tomorrow I get to watch.
Yeah, and that's a tournament. And if they win that, win or lose, they play either Texas Tech or USC.
Yeah, I really want to. Ooh, would it be at USC?
No, it's in Kansas City.
Do they have any games in LA this year?
I don't think so.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, because our big Thanksgiving tournament, instead of being in Fullerton, California this year, is in Kansas City.
So stupid.
I mean, it's good for Nebraska fans.
Yeah. Well, not good for these Nebraska fans. Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to argue about?
No. I think you're a bigger dummy than I do.
Everybody, let's have a vote on Twitter. How big of a, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10, the way Pat speaks, you think that Pat thinks I have Mike Tyson level brain. That's a 10. In other words, I'm an idiot. That's a 10. If you think that Pat thinks that I'm Elon Musk, that's a 1.
Well, Elon Musk has some of his own issues.
Well, but intelligence certainly is not one of them.
I mean,
or do you want to tell me how Elon Musk's a dumbass because he smoked join on YouTube?
No, he's a dumbass because he called a guy who rescued a bunch of kids a pedophile with no proof.
Maybe he has proof.
No, he didn't.
Well, what if he is a pedophile and you're defending a pedophile?
Well, then I'll take back what I said.
Maybe Elon...
See, here's the thing. I'll retract when I'm wrong.
I do too. I retract when I'm wrong all the time. I'm just not wrong that often. That's the problem. That's the problem that you and Joe have, is this thing where you guys say I'm wrong, but then I'm like not wrong. And it's very hard to then, like, or a lot of times that I am wrong, it's a year ago when I said it.
Yeah. So you're saying I got to start bringing receipts. I got to listen to some old podcasts.
Yeah, you absolutely have to start bringing receipts just so I can be like, oh, there's your one receipt for the 100 times that you guys said I was wrong.
You know how many hours of podcasts we have?
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
All right. Thanksgiving break, I'm going to be sitting at my computer with headphones
on. Or have a
on.
Brain for bitterness like I do. And what that means is I don't forget any time I've been wronged. I remember everything everybody always says about me. And then when I'm right, boy, howdy, do I forward that tweet.
I just told you I was gonna tag Old Takes Exposed to someone who tagged us to Old Takes Exposed. You think I don't have a brain for that?
Fair enough. All right. What are we going to do, Pat? Anything else? No?
Listen to the podcast. It's on HuskerMax.com every Tuesday or on iTunes every Monday. You can also check out the replay of our Facebook Live from the weekend every Monday on HuskerMax.com.
You can go on Twitter and you can see all of the time I put into research for really obscure facts that I post on Twitter at Big Red Comcast.
Quit trying to take credit for my work. I actually did not annoy my wife with that last night.
Yeah,
a lot of times I do. She's like, can we just hang out? And I'm like trying to figure out bowl probabilities for games. She actually didn't care last night.
That's good.
Yeah.
No, I don't do any research. I'm the emotional one.
Donate to our Patreon, patreon.com/BigRedCopcast. Follow us on Twitter. Did you say that part? At Big Red Copcast?
Yeah, at Big Red Copcast.
Facebook.com/Copcast. There we go.
All right. Fair as a bus.
Patty rides a bus.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.